Welcome to the final episode. Is this the final episode, Dan? Anyway, we're going to talk about my painful journey from 2004 to 2023. And this is a totality of how many years? 19 years. And a lot of these pain points in my real estate investment journey has brought about a lot of new frameworks, learning fundamentals in property investing, and my realizations, and most importantly, it crafted into the entire moat analysis, trifecta, prime hexagon, where we talk about landed categorization, mindsets, understanding micro, macro, fundamentals of Singapore real estate. This, I will say that I'll cater probably about 70-80% of my painful journey personally in my property investment cycle, as well as learning from all my clients over the past 16 years. I mean, like my thousands of clients, I want to thank you for really going through the investment cycle with me and our team. It allows me to look into your portfolio, learn from you, and also to understand your success as well as your pain points, and combining with my own pain points and my own success, it allows me to craft into what we call a very high success rate when it comes to real estate investing in all the way starting from 2020 onwards. I'm very thankful for this entire learning sequence, and I'm still learning along the way. Even though now, ever since we started PLB from 2018, we have a very high success rate in terms of our clients onboarding with us when we help them to buy properties or invest in property or sell their property and transitioning to the next one. We pride ourselves in having a very good analysis factor when it comes to understanding real estate fundamentals. That is not just about new launch or resale or landed or commercial. It's really about understanding fundamentals, using frameworks to invest, and spotting the right disparity gaps in every different season. So we don't believe in timing the market. We believe in looking at the key fundamentals and analytical factors to spot properties with what we call high appreciation potential characteristics, and spotting properties that has a good inherent factors that prime itself for a better and faster rate of capital appreciation. And of course, we're also into rental play. Our key focus is always to hunt for what we call the three-star grade properties. So the three-star rating properties are properties that can appreciate in total valuation, but at the same time, rental has a very high possibility to cover most of the mortgage, though not all, because in Singapore, rental is in terms of yield is only about 2-3% for most residential properties. But most importantly is that your property must appreciate. All right, so allow me to share with you the start point of my journey. So I got married in 2004. Back then, I was still a prison officer. That was the time that I got to know Adrian. We both entered into Ministry of Home Affairs. We're prison officers. We started from the same training batch in the prison officers training school. And then we got posted to the same institution and started our 3-year journey from there. Immediately after joining prison service as a prison officer, just 3 months into it, once I got my first 3-month payslip, I immediately bought a HDB resale property, got married. Basically, when you buy a resale property, the flexibility is that your RRM can take place 3 months after you get possession of the home, because HDB wants to encourage couples. So basically, you can actually buy the property first. And if you are getting a grant, you just need to produce a marriage cert on the day of the completion. If you need a little bit more time, you just need to show proof that you already have an ROM date or wedding date, and those can be factored into your appeal with HDB. So we got the HDB, and guess what? It was bought with zero cash. Because why? There's a 40,000 near parents grant back then. I still remember I bought the HDB property near my parents, and this was at about 220,000, zero COV. You need like a down payment of, back then was about 20%, something at 15 or 20%, something like that. And then using my first 3-month payslip and my wife's payslip as in the healthcare industry, we got the property, got a HDB loan, and HDB loan was 2.6%. And then money is almost very low. I think it was like $500 or something, like fully deducted from our CPF. I still remember my furnitures were bought with installment from like Courts or Harvey Norman and stuff like that. And when we first moved in, there was no sofa. There was only a TV, because TV was more important. And that was how we started our family. And 2009, once we hit our 5 years MOP, back then, in the midpoint of this portion, I entered into the real estate industry in 2007. I started 3 years right after I've completed my bond as a prison officer. So I started 6 months earlier than Adrian. That was in 2007. And then we became partners in basically doing our sales together in a small company back then. It was still the very early days and we were like using BlackBerry, Nokia phone, posting on newspaper, printing flyers. It was a very traditional way of doing property. So can you imagine when we started in 2006, 2007, Property Guru was not even invented. It was only like, I think in 2008 that Property Guru first started. So that was how early it was. So 2008 October was the Lehman Brothers crisis. When it was 2009, my 5 years MOP for my resale HDB reached, I decided to time the market and I decided to sell my HDB, wait out for the market to crash even further, then come back in and buy, whether is it like a private property or another HDB. So I sold my property here. Guess what? The Lehman Brothers crisis only took 6 months before it started to turn around and recover. Back then, I already sold my property because it took me about 3 to 4 months. Back then, the market was no good. Everybody was very fearful. I found a buyer, sold the place, and then I went to rent. So I rented and I wanted to time the market. But little did I know, come 2009 midpoint, it was starting to turn and the market started to went up again on a U-shaped recovery. And my mindset was that, hey, I think it's just like a knee-jerk effect. And I was trying to adopt like, the behavior of stock markets that, you know, I don't think this will go up for too long. I think it will start to stabilize or come down. And I was like looking at the prices every day. It's like, you know, what should I buy? Should I buy like a condo or HDB? And because back then when I started as a brand new agent, I was very focused on the HDB market. I was primarily from 2007 until 2011 selling HDB properties. And I have very little knowledge about real estate investment. I also didn't spend a lot of time to understand about investing in private properties or studying behaviors of condominiums or the landed market. So I was very in tune to HDB properties. And my mindset is that investing in private properties is going to be very risky. Installment is going to be very high. There's MCST. Maybe what I should do is just buy back a cheaper HDB and hopefully the HDB will appreciate and make money and stuff like that. So what happened was that when it come 2011, prices went up so much. And back then, can you imagine like the heydays? If we talk about like RCR regions or OCR region, a 3-bedroom was averagely at about $500,000 to $600,000. A 4-bedder was typically at about $700,000 to $800,000. Those were the heydays back then. So when I sold my HDB and I look at a 3-bedroom pricing in the OCR region, it was like $500,000 over $1,000 for 1,002+ square feet. By the time 2011, when I finally decided to re-enter back to the market, the 3-bedroom that I was monitoring became $600,000 over $1,000. So it appreciated by $100K. And I thought that, hey, wow, it went up already. I better play it safe. Even though my family enjoyed this fantastic property that is very good for my kids and my own stay. But looking back, if I would have made another choice, definitely in terms of my investment journey, you have been better off. But I don't regret the decision. I only regret the fact that I didn't really put in the effort to understand fundamentals of property investing. So I went ahead and bought a jumbo HDB flat. Let me just give you some context. This jumbo HDB I bought for $567,000. It was a jumbo HDB with 4 bedrooms, single floor plate, 4 bathrooms. And that was also where my 3 kids grew up in. So now I have 4 children. And Ethan didn't get to live in this property. By the time Ethan was born here, I already moved to our next property already. So this property I bought for $567,000 is a HDB jumbo. And I was contemplating between going for the HDB jumbo at $567K versus a 3-bedroom, also around the same district at about $680,000. For 1,002+ resale condo that's 3-bedder. So I decided, hey, let's just go for this. You know, this is like huge in size. Square feet wise is about 1,008 square feet. And then compared to a condo. And back then, because I was just thinking about, oh no, the installment for condo is so high, MCST fee. Yeah, just stay safe and go for this. From here onwards, basically what happened over the next subsequent years is a few very interesting things that happened. So we became very comfortable staying here. I then, on the following year, went ahead to invest in a private property together with some friends. And we got into a private residential property using my friend's name. And basically, this gave us very good rental yield. So this was a rental play. The rental yield was close to about 7%. It's a residential property. And this was a fantastic investment in the sense that rental yield is good, but the capital appreciation is so low. Why? Because it belongs to a class of residential property which has very little volume effect. The valuation growth was very tepid over the years. Eventually, we sold it around this season because my co-investor, which is my friend, needed to use their name to purchase their own property. By that time, ABSD and all that already kicked in already. So the names became very, very important. So this property gave us very good rental play, but very low capital upside, which was not a good use of our money because even though rental yield was good, we have passive income. But the moment we come out with a shared investment to purchase and put in a down payment, we have never ever top up money before for monthly mortgage or MCST. But every month, each of us draw passive income from the rental, less of the mortgage, less of MCST. Basically, what I realized was that the moment we draw passive income, every one of us probably got in like close to $1,000 per month, but the money was spent. And then I would use it to pay for my car and things like that. And at the end of the day, you cannot see the money. So what happened was that in 2013, I also co-invested in an overseas property because there was a lot of hype. I'm still holding on to this property until today. And this is one of my worst investment to date because this has not appreciated in price. It took me so long to rent it out and I was so busy with real estate business that I don't even have the mood or the heart to go and travel there to take care of the property. And we just left it there. So basically it was a co-investment, but this investment was made with three other partners. And till today, it's only left with two partners, which is me and Adrian. So we still hold this property, but the other two investors, they basically has sort of like backed out already and they don't want to hold on to this property anymore. So two of us are still servicing the mortgage. Thankfully, it was just rented out this year and I managed to get a tenant that can sort of nicely cover the mortgage, but we have to pay the MCST fee. But it has not appreciated. In fact, I think it depreciated because in this country, there's just so much new supply every year. There's no control of supply. So if you look at my previous episode on Singapore's 10 very powerful moats in the property market, supply is very important. If the country is so huge that and the government has no control on the supply level, it's going to diminish your capital price. Now, next, in 2015, what happened was this. I then also invested in a freehold commercial shop in Singapore. This property has appreciated. Rental is increasing every year. However, what I realized from this investment is that even though it has appreciated, but when we try to sell it 2 years ago in the year 2021 until today, it's so hard to find a buyer because that was the season of strata shops. It was a small strata shop facing the road, very easy to rent out, good rental play. We usually just have to top up about $100 to $200 per month for the mortgage and MCST, but it was okay. It's freehold, we can hold it. But the ROI was so low because even though on paper it has appreciated probably by about $200,000, but it's very hard to find a buyer to exit. We don't want to go into like, you know, extraction of capital and all that kind of stuff for this particular property, but we wanted to just sell it off and then just move on. But it's so hard to find, but I'm still selling this property until today. In 2018, we then sold off this particular property that we bought in 2012. So total holding period was 6 years. There was a very little capital upside. It took us about 9 months to find a buyer that appreciated this very unique type of property. It's not very popular with residential buyers because back then there's ABSD. By this time, people who buy their second property will be tax ABSD already. So we sold it off and took back our capital. But the passive income that was over the last 6 years, technically, I cannot see the money anymore. Over here, we took back our capital. And what happened next was that I then also sold off our HDB jumbo flat. So this was the time that we started PLB in 2018. And that was also the time that I started to go very deep dive into real estate investment fundamentals. It was also the time that we started to build a lot of our frameworks that you see in all our past 20 webinars. And we're still developing newer and newer frameworks to help our property investors to make better decisions when it comes to analyzing properties. I sold my jumbo flat, and then of course I bought our own stay residential property. So we got a very good property for our children. We're very happily staying there until today. And of course in 2020, I also invested in another new launch investment property. And of course over the last 3 years from 2020 until today, we also invested in 4 industrial properties as well. So all in, this was my very painful journey. Of course, what I've learned is that a lot of people, the moment they start to understand about property investing, they started invest, even friends at my age, they started investing much earlier than me. So even though I'm in the real estate industry, my first 10 years, I would say I made a lot of mistakes. I was just very focused at being a salesperson just to sell properties. And I saw all my clients made a lot of capital gains over the years, but I didn't put in the effort back then. I was just so focusing on selling and helping my clients to arrange viewings, analyze for them and to buy. But I didn't have that kind of like confidence back then to do it on my own, for my own portfolio. So it's only through this very painful cycle here that even though I invested here, even though I invested here, I made mistakes here as well. This, I would say, is not so much of a mistake, even though there's good passive income, but I didn't go into the fundamentals of going for something that has good capital appreciation plus passive income. I could have done that. This was basically just to follow the hype. It was a FOMO effect. This was like, you know, just also a bit of FOMO because back then there was like ABSD for residential. So everybody was investing into strata shops. So there was a little bit FOMO. It's only after here that I started to go into really good fundamental properties now. So today, this property has easily appreciated by 60%. This property easily appreciated by 20%. And of course, we also own 4 other industrial properties. And I still own this overseas property. And of course, I have also invested in another overseas property this year. From 2018 onwards, I would say that the journey has more been really about fundamental investing. So this was my painful journey summary. And of course, we're going to deep dive into a lot of all this because through this, I realized that it created more empathy when it comes to me speaking with our clients in the last 5 to 6 years, because I can understand people's journey and mindset and thinking and fears at every different season of their life. So when I speak to clients that always struggle in terms of like their HDB property, because you know, we just love this jumbo HDB so much. Even until today, sometimes me and my wife will still talk about this property. You know, our kids grew up here. It's so nice. I still remember the dining table. I still remember this, but this has started to depreciate because of ballast curve. Because at the point of selling, it was hitting the 60-year-old balance lease mark. And if we don't sell it off, I mean, the price still holds until today, but it has a balance lease of 56 years. We wouldn't have that opportunity to actually see appreciation here. Because the appreciation here is so much more. I would say like it's at least 5 to 6 times more than this property. I think in terms of the opportunity cost, as well as my age, as well as our investment journey, I think this was a worthwhile choice because we will share with some of our clients that, you know, if you love the HDB property so much, you can always set like a time bar when you're 55, you want to slow down, go into defensive property journey cycle. You can always sell off all your private properties and you can buy back a HDB. You can even buy back the jumbo flats at the same location if you really love that location. So you need to take note that time is the only time we cannot buy back. And I've learned it through the hard way. I hope that you don't go through my journey, but I hope that my journey can assist our audiences to make better decisions. So we're going to deep dive further to our 2024 series of Nuggets of the Goal. Hope that you enjoy this particular episode. My name is Melvin Lim. If this is your first time joining us, do also subscribe to our Property Lim Brothers YouTube channel where you get to see fantastic home tours of different homes in Singapore. Also subscribe to our PRB Insights channel where we talk about new launch project reviews. Also, last but not least, we have launched our new Chinese PRB channel. Please click on this link or the description link box down below. Support us on different social media channel and our brand new PropertyLimBrothers.com website, as well as our PRBInsights.com website where we review different properties in Singapore through our editorial platform. So take care. Have a wonderful 2024 ahead and we'll see you every week. Take care.